In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There is joy before the angels over one sinner who repents. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One. That's not a big number. And we have the tendency to love numbers, don't we? Actually, I think one of the biggest temptations for most pastors and congregations face is numbers, numbers, numbers. Average worship attendance. Online views nowadays. Number of new members. Average giving per member. We are tempted to measure success in terms of numbers. So we get puffed up and proud when the numbers increase. And we despair when the numbers are decreasing. The chairs are empty, finances declining. We can lose heart. Worry about the future, go into survival mode. Love of numbers is powerfully intoxicating. And our sinful nature worships at the altar of numerical success. But then we have a new God, a form of idolatry that we might call numerolatry. Of course, numbers can be a good thing. The book of Acts has a lot of numbers. 3,000, 5,000, more than ever believers were added. The book of Numbers has also a lot of numbers. In fact, God commanded a census. There were 603,550 men at the beginning of the book. 601,730 men at the end. Numbers showed how the hand of God was blessing his people. But then, the love of numbers can also be a great temptation. King David ordered a census of his fighting men. We don't know his exact motive, but it could not have been good. God didn't tell him to do it. And the Bible says that Satan incited him. And because of it, the Lord sent a plague. 70,000 men fell dead. But that's what's so comforting about our gospel reading for today. Jesus isn't concerned about filling all the chairs. He even leaves the 99 in the open country. He is concerned about a single sheep. He makes an arduous search for one lost sheep. He is filled with supreme joy when one lost sheep is found. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were muttering, criticizing, grumbling, complaining. This man receives sinners and eats with them. They could not stand that Jesus was hanging around people who were notorious sinners, people that the Pharisees and teachers of the law would try to be as far as they could. So they kept on saying aloud, so everyone would hear, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They kept on openly voicing their displeasure with Jesus. "This man, this fella, this guy," derogatory. They didn't even want to pronounce the name Jesus. What they said was absolutely true. They said a great truth, but they meant it for evil. So in contrast to the Pharisees, Jesus shows God's gracious heart in the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son in Luke chapter 15. Our reading today covers the first two, but these three magnificent parables describe God's longing for the lost. His utter delight is to seek and save one lost sinner, including those Pharisees. God's word clearly teaches that God so loved the whole world of sinners. In our individualistic society, it's good to emphasize the corporate nature of the Holy Christian Church. But these parables also shows us God's love for the individual sinner. Every single person is important to Jesus. One out of 100 sheep. One out of 10 coins. One out of 2 sons. One. Which seems insignificant to us. But you are more precious in the sight of God than all the gold on earth. Your soul and body are precious to Him. And if you had been the only sinner in the whole world, He would have died for you. God's love for you is radical and absurd to our reason. As our epistle reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To leave 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to seek one, it makes no sense. It seems irresponsible. Nobody who counts the cost would do such a thing. It's not worth it. We would cut our losses. We would say, well, I still have 99 that haven't wandered off. But our Lord is like an irresponsible shepherd. He is consumed with passion to save this single lost soul. He will not rest until He has found that sheep. That's a great comfort. It's the same comfort God brought to His exiled people through the words of His prophet Ezekiel in our Old Testament reading today. God said, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. So in this little parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, we see a great loss, an intense search, and finally a joyful finding. What a happy day it was when the lost sheep was found. The shepherd didn't give it a beating. He was compassionate. He didn't even compel the sheep to walk. He carried it on his shoulders. Like Isaiah 40 says, he will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in close to his heart and gently lead those that are with young. And then we see how the whole community rejoiced. He calls his friends and neighbors to gather and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. What great joy there is when a sinner repents. What joy God and all the holy angels know when a lost sinner is found. Heaven reverberates with joy over the repentance of one. This man welcomes sinners, the Pharisees and his scribes grumble, but thanks be to God that they were right. Jesus is constantly welcoming and eating with sinners. He continues to do this in our midst today, feeding us, sinners, with his body and his blood. Think about that in the next minute, in the next few minutes, when you stand here around the altar to receive his body and his blood. He has got you on his shoulders. He is carrying you with joy. He can't wait for the party. You are that one lost sheep. He has found you. He has worked repentance and faith in you and brought you here today. This is rejoicing, a time of rejoicing. The joy, there is rejoicing over all of you today. Rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. So instead of getting all wrapped up in the love of numbers, we are content preaching God's word in its truth and purity. As the people of God, living holy lives according to it, and leaving the results to God, and especially rejoicing when one sinner repents. To God, one sinner is valuable beyond measure. To God, one sinner is valuable beyond measure. You are valuable beyond measure. You are not just a number. During my childhood in Brazil, my dad was a pastor of a few congregations that had farmers. And I remember how exciting it was when he would visit them and he would take me with him, because that meant a tour of the farms. Exciting for a city boy to see all those wonderful things happening there. And some of them were quite large farms with lots of cattle and a huge dairy operations where the cows were just like milk production units known only by, you know, the numbers on their ear tags. But then there were also some small family farms where the few animals were all known by name as the farmer showed the farm around. So your good shepherd knows you by name. You are his. You are not just a number. Many of our Bible passages convince you of that as well. You are of more value than many sparrows. Luke chapter 12. He has engraved you on the palms of his hands. You are his. Isaiah chapter 49. You are a precious lamb. He loves you. He died for you. He redeemed you. He searched you for you. He found you. He is full of joy over you. May you be convinced of that always. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.